Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hi guys, welcome back to the podcast. Before we introduce our next episode, just to ask you for a small favour, I really appreciate the hours that some of you are investing into watching the podcast that we've done in the past, but I'd like to ask you to do me one favour that would take you seconds. If you enjoy the show, please hit the subscribe button, and if you enjoy any show in particular, please click on the thumbs up. It'll make a massive difference to the podcast. So thanks very much for your continued support, feedback, and I hope you enjoy this one.
Ange was over, I remember this day, Ange was over talking to, like, it was like a coaching day, they were calling it. So all the coaches for the suburbs would come in and watch your training. But we're doing wheelbarrow races and the guys that have played in the champ, like, Oz just fucking get so many caps for Australia, captain of Australia. It was crazy. And then you're like, what the hell's happening here? But to be fair, when I look back and I've done the sessions, they were actually good. I actually took a couple of them for myself and still do them. But it kind of, when I broke my nose, so I was out for a couple of weeks. And then he gives it the old one, I'm on the shoulder, we need you back and all that, we need you back playing. And I'm like, well, I can play now. I've had the, because I had to get it put back in place surgically, so I had to be knocked out and all that. And then you're not allowed to play for 2 weeks after that.
What, because of the anaesthetic?
No, just because they had to put it, like, now normally if somebody can just go like that, bang, and put it back in place, I had to go for an operation to get it put back in, because I'd start having dinner Saturday, and I think it was like a Tuesday or something, so I'd waited too long for it to be put back in itself. So after that, they say that you can 2 weeks before it can, like, start properly healing. So in the 2 weeks, he's giving me the old damn on the shoulder, you need to get your back and stuff. So I was, even though I'd broke my nose, I was still like cycling and going running and stuff when the boys were training. So I was reasonably fit to go back in. And then plays a couple of reserve games, gets back in the squad for the first team, and then was bombed. But I was like, I can remember speaking to a few of the players saying, what the fuck, have you done something? And I'm like, no, I've not even spoke to him. So they gave me the old round the shoulder saying he needs me back in the team now. And then, because there's five foreigners, but they wanted to sign like an attack midfielder for, I don't know, some foreign country, like Colombia or something. He was like a 35-year-old. And they're like, we need you to go so that we can get him in. And I was like, all right, no worries, but you need to pay me all my, what I haven't left at the end of the season. And then they started trying to, I was like, no, you're wanting me to go, so you need to sort it out. And then eventually they did. But I'll never forget, it was a... Ange was... He didn't like experienced players at that point.
Is that maybe because he, at this point, is an inexperienced manager?
I think he'd been in the game for a long time, but no, as a manager, he'd been coaching and stuff. And I think it was like he didn't want him to like speak back to him or whatever. So he had a meeting one day, and he came in. And him and Danny Teato, remember with Donatello, they didn't like each other because he used to slag Danny on the TV. Ange used to do like the Fox Sports for the games, and he used to always slag Danny because Danny used to do a stupid tackle and get sent off and things like that. So they had a ding-dong over the years. So Danny Tattle plays with us as well. And Ange just came in and had a big team meeting Monday, and Danny, he gets cocked teats. So he's out in the pitch, and they were having this meeting. And he said, to be fair, he said, I go at Craig Moore. And I was just having a go back with him. And then he tried to have a go at Charlie. I think Charlie had a go back. And then Danny Tattle comes down. You can hear the ball bouncing all the way down the tunnel, and he can burst him through the door. And then Ange says to him, who the fuck do you think you're coming in at this time? And we teach just side volley. Bang,
no.
smashes the ball, and it starts bouncing over the dressing room. And then he's basically just says, fuck you, I'm out here. And just grabbed his stuff and fucked off.
And when he went to you and Charlie and that, did you just leave that club at the same time?
Well, I stayed for an extra month, but no, did I? I think I stayed in Australia for a month, but I'd only with the club for another 2 weeks. And then Charlie went to the rivals, Gold Coast.
Yeah.
But I think, to be fair, you can't knock him because he let everybody go. And then I think they won the league the next, I don't know if it was the next year or the year after. So he done what he was there, and he's progressed. And to be fair, he's flying now with Spurs.
No, to be fair, when Charlie was on, Charlie was speaking about it, and he said that he moved. And he says, in hindsight, he says, I probably had a space there. Mm-hmm.
I think he liked Charlie as a player.
Yeah.
Because Charlie was, maybe not that season, but the season before, Charlie got like player of the tournament, or MVP, or whatever they call it. And Charlie was flying. And he got a couple of injuries the next season, the season that I was there. But still, he was still doing well.
So with Charlie staying, did you have the opportunity to stay in Australia? Or?
Well, I didn't, because what happened was the first month that I went, my missus came with me, and then she had to come back because the club had to give me a visa, and she was working back here and stuff. The plan was, if I was going to stay longer, she'd have come over. But she came over at Christmas for a month as well, and then she fell pregnant, so just... Look, it worked in the way when I came back. Right. My wee boy was born in September, so...
For the rest of your family life, it made sense.
The Wayne being born in Australia, and then my mum and dad and her mum and dad don't get to see the Wayne, so...
But for a guy who, earlier on in his career, had opportunities to go abroad, had opportunities to go down south even, and didn't want to do it, are you glad that later on in your career you took that plunge and done Australia? Is it something you enjoyed doing? And I loved
it. Loved it, even the people I got to meet, teammates, still text them the new and have a laugh and a joke. Got to meet their families, I've seen their kids are now growing up, and 18, 19 year olds got their own businesses and stuff. So it's crazy when you think back and see these wee kids and then now they're adults. Just fortunate enough to get, I had the opportunity to go there and get to meet these people and call them my pals.
No. I think, even forgetting the football, just to go and live in another environment, you know, just do something a bit different in your life. It's something that
I think for me, the thing was as well, it's English speaking, they drive the same side of the road. Yeah. I lived with Craig and Heather, his missus, and their kids, and then Charlie lived across the road, so it was ideal for me. I didn't have to go and try and find a house to live in or a flat or go and get a motor or whatever. It was just basically, I was with the boys and they helped me.
And I think when you were younger and you were looking, chances of maybe going to Italy, language, friends, having that bubble, just wouldn't have been the same.
And I didn't want it. My heart was set on playing for Rangers.
So you came home, done a wee stint with Dundee, wee stint with Cowdenbeath. It's time to hang your boots up. How does that decision come about? You know, for a guy that age would you have been then, about 31?
30.
So, you know, you've been involved in football for 20 years, you know, at one level or another, and then professionally for, you know, most of your life at that point. What makes that decision? How do you get to make that decision, and how do you feel about it?
Well, the decision was basically made for me, to be honest. It was, my wee man was born, and probably for the first time, I actually said to myself, right, I'm going to get back proper fit. I'd lost a lot of weight. I didn't see like the last maybe 2 or 3 years of playing. I didn't dedicate myself the way I did when I was younger. Even though I was out maybe on the piss a lot when we were younger, I still gave everything in training, never missed training much. Put a shift in, and I probably never done that as much as when I was getting maybe when I went to Australia, or when I left Motherwell, sorry. Didn't have that same drive as what I did when I was younger. And it's probably my own fault for the stupid things that I've done with the drink driving and things. Maybe didn't have as much drive as that I did, should have had. But when my wee boy was born, I tried to get that back. And I was out running Strathclyde Park every day. I just lived up the road, so I was taking him out walks. I'd lost loads of weight. And I'm thinking I'm going to get back in about it. And I went with Kenny Branagan, was Queen of the South. I was training with him until something else came up. And I think that's when I went to play the games with Cowdenbeath, the 3 games, because you can play 3 games of trialist. So Jimmy Nick phoned me and says, Bob, can you come and help us out, play 3 games? And I went, right, no worries. Went, I think I played 2 of them. And then changing my wee boy's nappy, turned to put him down on the couch, and my back went.
Don't put something as daft as that, innocuous as that. But you did say you had back problems earlier in your career. It was something that you'd become problems with.
Because it had, like, my arch, the arch on my back's like, it's like strange. It's always something Bomber used to say to me, you need to do these certain exercises to try and help it and all that, make it stronger. And to be fair, I did do them when I was younger. But there was still sometimes I'd have to miss training for a couple of days to ease up and things. But I just remember that. So it was my sciatic nerve that went. And what the hell? So I couldn't move. I had to phone my sister to come leave her work, come to my house.
You sure just didn't know how to change a nappy?
No, the nappy was changed. That was the worst thing. The nappy was changed. It was just when I turned around to put them back, my back went. And then, so I'm lying in the ground. The Wayne's lying on the couch, greeting. I couldn't get up to lift them. I had to phone my sister, so she rushed all the way up, and she walks in and starts laughing at me because I'm sprawled out in the flare. Next day I goes to Queen of the South training. Big Kerzo was the fit, I don't know if you know Big Kerzo, no, Big John Kerr, great guy. He was a physio, and he's like, Bob, I don't know what's happened to you, I don't know what that is. She's like, strange, I don't know. Like, he was checking my back, nothing. He checked my feet, which I'm thinking to myself, why are you checking my feet if it's my back that's sore? Because I'd like done the left hand side of my left leg, had no feeling from my shin down to my toe. So he's like to me. He started looking at like my right in at my toes, and he says, we've got a feet woman that came in and done things with, like, cut people's toenails and all that. She comes in on a Friday, go away. This must have been like a Wednesday or something. Come in Friday, see this woman. She started lifting like tweezers into my toes and lifting wee bits of wood and all that. So I'm like, what's that? And she's like, it's like wee bits of, if you get wood and flailing in the house. And I said, aye. She's like, it's like wee scales you've got on your feet. I'm like, but that kind of be what's making my back sore. And she went, I don't know. I'm only just picking these things up. And then end up, I went and got a scan done, and it was my sciatic nerve. The muscle had come through and jabbed on the nerve. And then the physio said to me, look, this can be a week or two, or it could be life. There's no way knowing how long this can take. And that was that. I just like, oh, fuck it, that's me done. But I tried. When was it? Would have been the, like I'd said to you, I've been fit and stuff, and I was keep myself fit. Once I got started getting the feeling in that back, I went back out running, but I was running with a limp. And Kenny Shields phoned me, and he's like to me, Bob, what are you doing? And I said, well, nothing. I'd done my back and not really been doing anything. I've been trying to get back fit. And he said to me, what about coming into Kilmarnock? He said, I want to get you fit, and I want you come in and play for me. And I went, I said, look, Kenny, I don't know how long this is going to take. I've been told it could be a week, it could be a lifetime. I don't know. It's that, come in, your physio, work with you, we get you fit, and then take it for there. I went fine, and it was Alec McQueen, used to be the Rangers physio. He was the physio at Queen's at the time. And then he's like, look, I know what's up with you. My missus had the exact same thing. It's your sciatic nerve, the muscle. So he gave me exercise today. And then see, within about 2 weeks, he started like releasing and stuff. I'm out running. The boys are doing pre-season. He's working with me myself. Can feel myself getting fit again. And then the problem that I had is my feeling at my toes and my ankle, or like my left side, where I couldn't properly feel them. And then he said to me, but they had a friendly against, it was Oldham or something, at Rugby Park. And he said to me, I think you could play. I went, I'll get a go. I said, I don't know how long it'll last or whatever. I played and done all right in the game. I knew that my leg was gone. And he's like, how did you feel? And I said, all right. But I said, I still know 100%. So I still kind of feel my left leg properly. And he's like, right. And at this time, I'd already committed to doing the London Marathon for Deborah, the charity. And he's like to me, go and do that. And when you come back, we'll sit down and have a chat.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
She shouldn't have done a London Marathon. That was me. Gone. Legs were away. Back had went again. No, as bad as what it was, but could just, for 2 weeks or something, I could tell a walk. I was like, nah, I'm done.
Incredible. She looking back, do you think? If you hadn't done the London Marathon, you'd maybe get a season out of it.
Maybe I wouldn't have. It would have been just for the sake of trying to get in about it again. It wouldn't have been maybe I've lasted a couple of weeks, a couple of months, or whatever. And been probably glad now that it did happen in another, because I would have probably made an ass of myself.
You maybe regretted it if you did a wrong end. This is a thing that, and you see different people react differently. You've never had a normal job, right? You went for school, S forms, school, apprentice, and been a professional football player, and you're now 30. How does your head cope with that when you just suddenly go, right, well, that's it, I'm not a football player anymore? How do you process that, and how do you deal with it?
I don't know. To be honest, Craig, I've always had this ability to just blank things out. Mm-hmm. I don't know, it's something that I've always had. If there's something wrong, I can put it to the back of my head and blank it until the point where it comes up again. And it's always been something I've been able to do. I think probably the big thing was because my boy was born, so I got to spend every day with him. Even though I was still going training, some of the days I was getting up, taking him out a walk, getting him ready, meant that she could go back to her work or do what she was doing, and spent proper time with him. And then obviously the opportunity came to go coaching. And I think by that time I was probably maybe a couple of a good year anyway, at least out the game, no doing anything. Then had the chance with Juki. When Juki was his fife manager, he said to me, why don't you come in and train and do a wee bit of coaching that? No, no worries.
And had you started getting your badges at that point, or was that what drove you to do it?
No, me and Fergie had always spoke about it. Not to be like managers or assistant managers or whatever. We'd always spoke about one point we had to go and get our badges and whatever. And so I had when Jake had phoned me and said that, I was like, aye, because it would be a good experience for me. And Jake had obviously took a bad turn. Maybe, I don't know if it was maybe only 2 or 3 weeks before I had been there.
So you caused his heart problems then?
No, myself. His stress. I think he's probably 40, but the hell's happening here. Part-time, it's totally different. And obviously, with the budgets and that, the lower leagues. So, but no, Jakey was brilliant. He was obviously, that was his first manager's job, and all. He had a good assistant, big, what's his name again? Jesus Christ. Dundee United manager. Kenny, big Kenny. No, it's no. Oh, it'll come back to me. Dodgy used to be Dodgy's big centre half. You know, fucking hell.
A United player as well.
Mm-hmm. Dundee. The both of them, he was the manager of Community South and then met Dundee.
I'll come back to me. Probably the motor. See who takes his first right and a bit later after, but I'll be for you.
So he was assistant and Dodgy went through and all. He has wee bit. So I was learning after him. And then also Jake took the bad turn, so the boy took her, and then he's like to me, you come in, because Dodgy had TV work, so he couldn't do games.
Right.
He was doing the BBC at that time, so he couldn't go on a Saturday. So he's like to me, will you come in and help me on a Saturday? And I was, no worries. And then the team on the day so great, so he's like, oh, I'm jacking it. I'm like, just keep going. Because I was enjoying the coaching side of it and learning. He's like, see, I'm kind of, these are experienced guys, you know what I mean? They know when things aren't going right. And like, nah, it's not for me. And then Bully Brown came in. And Bully Brown said, you stay and help me. I'm not like, any worries. Bully was brilliant, to be fair. He's like, to me, like, going, you want to do a wee passing drill or something, or do whatever. You took most of it yourself, but give you your wee bit. And then kind of the club turned against him as well. He grabbed the mic one day. The team were struggling. And we were in the playoffs, but for getting relegated. We played a game at East End's Park. East Fife's Park, sorry. And the woman that does a half-time draw, she's got the mic and speaking to all the fans, and he comes out the tunnel and fucking grabs the mic. And he starts, you know, with the fans' pebbles.
Oh.
He's like, fucking get behind the team. You don't pay my wages, not that. And it came out, it was ended up, it came on the radio. Like, it was somebody had timed him, were videoing him or something, and had sent it to the radio station, and it came on like as if when he was doing it. And I think after that, the club kind of went like, he's no right in the head, man. But he was good, and I wish he did stay, because I would have learned a lot from him. He was the first one to say to me, see, when seen a Friday night, I go to the pub and drink, and I'm sitting and write my team out, and I'm sitting having a swally. I'm like, why? He's like, because then I'm not sitting in the house and my head's gone everywhere. He says, when I'm in the house, that's my family time. He says, after a game on a Saturday, I'll go home. As soon as my front door shut, football's back in my head. That's a good way to think about things. Uh-huh. And that's what he done.
So you've started, yeah, dipping your toe in it, the coaching, and then is it Blackpool first with Barry?
Aye.
And how did that come about?
Well, he obviously knew I was doing a bit of coaching, and it was just that, I think that summer that we kept his fife up, and Billy Brown had left. Then obviously I didn't go back because he wasn't there. So I'd probably another couple of months. Just we'd already started the process of like trying to go to Belfast to do our badges. I think we were probably going to go. I think we maybe started them that summer, in fact. We started them because it was like a 2-year thing. We did the first half 1 year and then finish it the next. And we'd already started it. But Barry was still playing. And then he phoned me one day and he's like, look, they've offered me the job till the end of the season. Should you like come down? I was like, fucking right, aye. He said, it'll be me, you and Malky Thompson. Obviously, Malky's had a bit more experience than us. Went down and loved it. To be fair, it was a great club. The gym and was a bit mental, but
aye, what was his name?
Oyston. Carol Oyston.
Aye. See, I've got a vague memory. I get sued for $200,000 with Sandy's deal when he was director of Rangers. And I think I was the first fan ever sued by a director of a club that he supported. But no long after me, I started getting sent all this stuff, said, you're not alone now, Biggin. And I'm sure he'd done the same to a Blackpool fan at the time that was protesting against him. He must have took about a seen what his deal was doing and thought, I could do that. And he was a second. And I remember, and then I started looking into it. And I thought, that guy's monk. That guy's proper, proper nuts.
He was proper minted, I know.
Mm-hmm.
But see, to be fair, he was mental, man. He used to, we went to his house one day when we just went down to Blackpool. He's like, wanting us to sit down. Before we went down, I wanted us to get a list of players who, like, Fergie was obviously being there as a player, so he knew who was maybe good enough and who wasn't. He said, we need maybe 5 players to come in on loan. Can write a list of who you think. So at that time, we're going, fucking Alan Hutton. Wasn't he playing for Aston Villa? Maybe get him on loan. Other players. But we had maybe 5 players for each position that was needed. And every time, everyone, he would go for the one that was fifth because it was less money for him. So you maybe try to get somebody for the Premier League, but you end up taking somebody for like League One. Do you know what I mean? It was crazy. But brilliant experience. But he done the. There was a fan demonstration every home game with him, and I don't know if you remember seeing it on Sky, the game with all the fans were thrown on tennis balls and tangerines. Well, he had him and his boy were in his box with tennis rackets, like playing when they were throwing the tennis balls. Not that he was just batting them back and playing with each other. Fucking
properly
nuts. And then he would say, they would all go, we pay like the wages, not. And he would say, you don't pay the wages, I pay their wages. Because every single season book in this stadium is the same money. And the season book money doesn't add up to what they get paid in wages, so I pay them. And then they could argue them. Because it's not like Ibrox where somebody's paying 800 quid for a season book and somebody's paying 400. Every season book was maybe like 250 quid. So everybody was paying the same. He was nuts, man. And then he would come to games with t-shirts with, like, he'd put a print on it. Something that somebody had said about in the paper about him. That week, he would turn up at the game with a t-shirt on with that print on it. And you're like, you're making it worse. But he didn't give a shit. And then I think once we left the next season, I think one of the big sponsors tried to, like, take you and then ended up going to court and all that. Because basically the money they had when they went in the Premier League, every payment they got after that when they got relegated, just put in their back kipper. So and then that's the boy took him to court and he won his case and then had to sell the club to him.
Eventually, aye, but aye, they really had it for a wee while, didn't they, Blackpool? So Blackpool, where was the next stop with you and Barry?
Clyde with a couple of years at Clyde. That was a strange one because it was obviously Clyde used to be a big club, played at a big stadium, but never had really the fans were maybe, I don't know, maybe 400, 500, 600 at the games. Mm-hmm. And you're playing, it's basically the stadium's empty every second week. But we managed to get them in the playoffs. First year we kind of started all right and then struggled. And then once it got to get his players in that and managed to get to the playoffs, get beaten in the final off Queen's Park. Then the next season it all went a wee bit beat down. I think that's when he started losing his love for it, just the politics and stuff. And then it took a wee bit of time off, and then the Kelty job came up.
Aye, that was probably a wee. No many people would have tipped that job to come up for doing Barry Ferguson. But he's had a bit of success there.
Aye. To be honest, he phoned me and he said to me, Kelty Hearts. And there was rumours going about in the World Leagues that this was the upcoming team. They were paying good wages. There was a few boys that we had or had played the lower leagues that had went to this team, like Juki's boy, went to this team, was getting like probably the same money as you were getting in League One or League Two. So we're like, I said, what you think? He's like, I'm going to go through and meet the boy. And Fergie went through and he's phoned me and he's well, like, he says, that's not bad, set up. He says, need to come through and we'll go through on Tuesday, watch the training and that. They think they were playing a Scottish Cup game. No, it was a Thursday. Went through on a Thursday and they were playing Peterhead on.
Hi guys, I'd just like to take a minute to talk to you about NordVPN, which is a company that I use their services. I use it majority of the time when I'm travelling abroad, when I want to keep up to date with the programmes I'm watching at the time, or more importantly to me, the sports that I want to watch when I'm abroad. So it doesn't matter where I am in the world, I can still watch the channels and the games and the sports that I want to. It also gives me security and some privacy that I'm looking for when I'm browsing the internet. They've got an exclusive huge discount available to viewers of the podcast, and they'll give you an additional 4 months free on top of whichever package you go on if you use our code. To get that, plus a 30-day, no quibble, money-back guarantee, all you need to do is log on to nordvpn.com/Craig, C-R-A-I-G, and that'll get you the exclusive discount plus the 4 months free on top of whichever package you go for. So go and give them a look, guys, and certainly I've had no problem using them in the times I'm travelling abroad, so I mostly use them. Thank you very much.
Saturday. And went through and I was like, oh, fucking hell, didn't I? I wasn't expecting what to be what it was. And I said, what you think? He's like, I fancy it. It's not just a gone for the sake of getting a couple hundred quid a week or whatever. It's like a proper, they want to go places. It's a project. It's not just a, like, come in and do whatever you can do. So as soon as we went in, Everton was brilliant. People that worked at the club, great. Oh, it was like all proper older, like, remember the old committees that used to be in the juniors and that, like, proper the state, same as that. But they had Dean, the boy that owned it. He was the guy that put his door in. But everybody else ran the club. They managed to get in some decent players and then won the league. But kind of a, it was like, I don't know, not tainted, but...
Oh, was that COVID?
It was a COVID one, aye. And then we'd still had maybe five or six games to go. And we'd just beat the team that was the closest to us before the COVID kicked in. And then they're saying, but we still got to play them at home, and it was a full thing. But it ended up, the Gide is a league, but it didn't matter. We couldn't play fucking Brecon in the playoffs, so it didn't really matter.
Aye, so they got a trophy, but you didn't get the reward, because the reward was the chance of getting into the league proper, wasn't it?
Aye, that was all the voting thing where, no playing and all that, because he basically just said, right, whatever league positions, and that's when, like, Celtic also won the league, and yeah. I think it might have done, was it close to that? It wasn't mathematically impossible,
and, you know, you could just say, oh, I'll still go to play them here, there, and wherever. It was just the way it was done, that yeah. Stuck in my throat.
Well, that, it was the same, obviously, it was the opposite of our level, so it was like we were trying to get the opportunity to go up, and we knew that if we played Brecon, we'd have beat them.
Yeah.
I think they knew that if, then they're done. But end up, it worked itself out, and then that's the way it worked out the next season. We won the league again, and then we played them.
Was it Brecon you eventually played the next season?
We ended up playing Brecon in the playoffs the next season. Put them down.
That must have been a sweet night then, eh?
It was, because that's what made it that wee bit about it. We'd done it properly, we went, and Fergie spoke to the owner and said to him, look, if you give the guys every opportunity. We end up splitting the teams because there was half the team Edinburgh based and half Glasgow based. So to stop them from travelling, like, we would take a group of maybe 10 boys at Strathclyde or Hamilton behind the Hamilton, the pitches. We would take maybe 10 boys there, and then one of the other coaches would take the other 10 throughout the stadium so that they weren't travelling 20 minutes each way. And it worked. We played Brecon the first game at home, we beat them 2-3-1, I think it was. 2-1. And then up there we put them out, it was 1-0. And obviously they were gutted, because I think they were one of the longest teams in the league. So but it was bittersweet because it should have happened the year before.
And then
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
You've won that, got them into the league proper. How long between there and no being there anymore? What was the time between winning that game and you two leaving?
Yeah, about 2 hours.
I kind of remember it was a bit bizarre, but how does that happen?
I don't even know, to be fair. We'd got promoted, and I don't know if you've seen the videos of Fergie's sliding under players' legs in the dressing room with Rob Evied and came down, and they'd organised in Celtic. There's a big, it's like a hall, so a big hall thing. I don't know how to explain it. It's like a
community hall.
It's like the old school with the dance flair, and it's got the seats run about the side, and it's got the stage and all that. So we walks in, and then it just came out. Fergie just came out with, I'm leaving.
And who's he telling this to? The crowd? To you?
He spoke to Dean. He said, I need to speak to you, Dean. And it's like I've got the opportunity to go to Arlo, and you hate Fergie for it, was just right because he would have taught him before with their managers going to better, like moving on to better things. It was a progressive step for him. And then we were just sitting there, and then we've got the committee members coming up and saying, oh, can I believe it and all that? And then that wasn't really thinking it and it, and then what are you talking about? He's like, he's a leaving. And then I was like, Jesus Christ.
But I didn't even, you know, spoke about it. You know, inclination.
There was rumours. And it wasn't just Arlo, there was rumours at Dunfermline, Raith Rovers. So you don't even think it and it until proper something like happens, but it was just, I'm like, Jesus Christ, fuck's sake. At least I've got his couple of hours to get in and get my fucking feet under the table and get a couple of beers.
You didn't even just take pie at this point.
But listen, that's the way Ferg is. He's got something, he goes for it, and he done it. And to be fair, I think the even though they were gutted, the committee knew that, look, it's an opportunity.
To be fair, you've done what you were asked to do for them, and you know, in hindsight, can it be class is anything but successful? You won 2 leagues in a row. Mm-hmm. You might have been promoted the year before if it wasn't for the pandemic. So, although they might have been disappointed you left, there certainly couldn't be any hard feelings, but just it's a bizarre way of doing it, isn't it?
It was crazy. Listen, we ended up, it was hard to win a hat when it was brought out, but obviously, Dean, he said, look, thanks very much for what you've done. And we ended up sitting with Dean up until maybe 4 or 5 in the morning before we came back home, sitting having a drink with him. So, I think it was just the way it happened. It was nobody really expected it, but they went and got Tomo. They got promoted again, so they won. Everybody moved on.
Everybody won. So Arlowa, who was the manager before? Was it?
Yeah, the manager before was Peter Grant.
Before that
would have been Jim Goodwin, Jack Ross, and who'd have been before that? Three, I think they had three managers that went on to better jobs.
Mm-hmm. It was a good stepping stone for a lot of people. That you were only there long, all right?
It was 7-8 months.
So, and what happened there? Did you just no hit it, or?
It just didn't work out. To be honest, it was I don't know. It was a great club, to be fair. Like, as in the same people behind the kit man, Pat, the wee dinner lady used to come in and make our stuff for training after, when you finish training, it was always like soup for you or sandwiches or whatever. The goat, everything that we asked for training and stuff. But I don't know. It was just once we got some good, we got a good result against Livingston in the League Cup section, but we get beat half breaking. So it's kind of a, and then we had a good team, but weren't playing well. Then we were getting beat half teams that should be, we should be beating, and then beating teams that we were like Falkirks and that. We were down to 10 men and drawn 3 each for them. Stupid results. And then, I don't know, the fans were just on his case. Mm-hmm. And it, but to be fair, it was disgusting. Some of the stuff was, even though you can blank off it, some of the stuff that was getting said to him, I was even thinking, fucking hell, you can't see things like that, man. Like, they're calling him an orange bastard. And then there's guys coming up going, out, look, that's no acceptable, like fans. I'm like, fair enough, you look. He's, I know he's played with Rangers and he's a Rangers fan, but you can't call him that. He's trying to do his best for Alloa. I said, it's no nothing to do with any sectarianism, you say anything you want, but you can't call him that. And then you would get, there was this one idiot fan, we played against Cove Rangers up there, and the game was a doubt because it was like the mist was right down and they said it might no like shift. So the boys went down the warm up and you could hear that one of the boys that travel with the team all the time, one of the directors, he's like, the fact there's a busload just got off at the stadium, they're all mad about. They've been out drinking all the way up in the bus, but they're all fancy dress.
Oh.
Right? So you're like, all right, no worries, cool. And we went out and I think we end up, we get beat, I think, 2 or 3-0. We never played well. And this guy was dressed up as a Pope, wasn't he?
Oh, no.
And this was the guy who was always shouting to Fergie. Oh. And then we just thought, there was no, they like Cove haven't got a great fan base, so they don't have, they're no singing songs, nor that, but this guy, you could just hear him for the full game, man. You're like, oh, my God. So it was embarrassing. Even their directors were going, that's not acceptable. And I think I don't know if they went and said to them, you're not welcome back at your club. It was things they were saying, it's disgusting. And I think even Mike Mulroney was like, look, even though Fergie was maybe wanting to leave after his own accord, because the chairman, he wanted to do it a couple of times and the chairman said to him, no, why don't you stay? But I think he just knew, maybe for your own sanity and stuff, like, just go our separate ways. But sure. I just seen yesterday that big chappers away at Livingston as well, so that was it's a strange, it's a club who's probably been above their expectations and done well for a few years, and now they've come back down to League One and they're not getting back up, so the fans are on their case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not accepting where they maybe should be, they're maybe over achieved before. That's a fair way of looking at it. So see this game at Cove, was that the last game?
No, I don't think it was, no. I think we played Celtic in the Scottish Cup, mm-hmm. and they beat us 2-1. And we actually done well.
And, was it Pope at that game?
Oh, probably. Probably the Celtic trap on that game. But it was a right good crowd that night. And even Celtic, it was banter, you know what I mean? It was fine. And but then we play well against them. You know, we get beat 2-1. And then I think we played these 5 the next week at home. So you're obviously expecting to beat them. And then we get beat 2 or 3.
I mean, it's no guarantee, right? But is Barry still want to be into football management, or is he still, is that something that he still want to be involved in going forward?
I don't know so much management. I think maybe if we get an opportunity to come in at a level where he could maybe try and help. I don't know if it may be like, I don't think part-time suits him. I think he needs to be in working day in, day out, try to like see what happened to him, to like progress his career as in like the way Bomber done for him, or who, like maybe the coaches that he was when he had. I think he needs to work with them day in, day out to get the best of him.
Because maybe assistant managers sort of to somebody, is that what you think he would be?
Maybe not as an assistant, because I don't know if he could work under MD either of, you know what I mean? he's got that. He's either a manager or he's maybe like a head of youth or like a 21s manager, but a good level where bringing players through and just getting a chance. Because see, to be fair, he's coaching like his drills and stuff that he was, and he would just sometimes he would just mark it on a bit of paper himself. Maybe take something that somebody's done in day one himself, and you're like, fucking yeah, that was really good.
I had some elements on, mm-hmm. changed some of the elements.
And then like one of the games we were at Kelty, we played Annan in the cup, and we got a boy sent off after like 20 minutes. And then they scored, and you're like, fuck, that'll be us out the cup. And they just came, just sitting on the sidelines, and he just went like, I've got an idea, I'm just going to go with it. And he went three at the back, four in midfield, and two wider, the mini striker. I'm going, what the fuck's he doing? But it worked unbelievable because left the two centre halves on it. And at that level, centre halves on, they normally, they're not really that good on the ball. So they were.
I didn't know where to go.
They were trying to play and they were getting the ball away. And then we were hitting them on the break and we ended up, we scored and we beat them in penalties.
Good shout.
And then ever since that, if we went down to 10 men, that would be reverted. And to be fair, most of the time it worked. Maybe once, it never worked one time where we conceded a late goal, but we were always in the games.
That's good thinking. The logic, I like that. I like trying to keep things simple and apply common sense and logic. I mean, you think about what he's just done there. You're shutting. If you're the 10 against 11, your fullbacks, the other team have normally got a bit more freedom than normal. The modern day fullbacks love to bomb forward. So if your two wide ones are up, your two forwards are keeping them, you're keeping them pressed. And these two in the centre are not going to be the same quality, especially with all due respect to the level that you know they were at the time. It's actually just applying common sense and logic. So tell us, you've worked for a lot of managers in your day, good and bad. What's Barry Ferguson like as a manager? What's his style?
Probably old school, maybe I'd say. Great, up to date ideas, what he wants today, but maybe it was not let him down, but maybe it could have been maybe a bit better. It was like the way going to dressing rooms, and if they're having a bad game, the way he's like shouting at them, because you can't really date in the game now. You can have it's the way you speak to them. And it's the same as when we were growing up. People can take it, people can't. The ones that could take it were fine. The ones that couldn't would go in a bad mood and say, oh, you can't speak to me like that, and things like that. And I think, to be fair to Fergie, when after the Clyde job and that, he went away, and that was one of the things that he said himself, I need to like chill out a bit. But it's like everybody wants you on the sidelines. The fucking game takes over and you start shouting and try to, it's like as if you're playing the game yourself. But no, I think he's really had, he's had enough. Maybe if he got the opportunity to come back in at a decent level where he could help kids come through or whatever, he would maybe look at it. But as in getting back into management at part-time level,
that's probably no fun. You've done that. So, I mean, you've been a coach, you've been an assistant manager, you've been a manager, you've been whatever you want to be. Isn't he tied to Barry Ferguson? You know, if Barry was to go to another team, then I would imagine, just to be the world worst, there might be a chance for you to do that going forward. But that might never happen. What's your plans? What do you see yourself doing? I take it you enjoyed your role as assistant manager and coaching, and a couple of times I think you've done like caretaking roles and stuff like that. Have you still got desires to do that? Is that something that you see in your future for Bob Malcolm?
Yeah, definitely 100%. I've obviously just been through a big operation the last few months and just getting back now. So I've had probably a good year out thinking about what I want to do, and like the usual, sitting in the house doing like your wee sessions and that out and getting the buzz for it again. Now that I can get up and get on the pitch, or maybe not be able to run about the way that I could have done coaching and day drills and stuff, but still put them on and want to get back involved in it. Whether it be somewhere myself as a manager, like I don't know, I'd imagine I'd need to start somewhere lower than what I would probably like to, but I'm happy to do that. It's, I need to prove myself all over again. But seeing if it's another assistant role somewhere, that it's hard because it's trust in it. You need somebody that can trust you and have the coach the belief if they want to take you in or no. But I always did say that if, because I knew, I think maybe the way things were going, I knew that Barry maybe he's wasn't he, like enjoying it or whatever. Then I would, if we did like split, then I would probably go my own way and like try and be a manager myself and just take whatever I've learned in the game over the years and try and go forward with that. As I say, it's an opportunity. You get the opportunity to do it, and then hopefully if I get the opportunity, I can do what I get myself.
Well, I know a place that's got 200 kids. If you're not doing anything and you want to get your foot in again, you're more than welcome. You can come once a week or once a year or once in your life. You're more than welcome down there, I tell you. That's something that I've appreciated, is the amount of ex-pros that are willing to help, you know. And it's great because I'm a volunteer. I've got an idea of what I want to do with this football club of mine, but I'm restricted to my knowledge, and that's never playing football as a professional, never coaching or managing at any professional or even adult level. I've been a coach for 15 years, but the oldest I've coached is an under-15s team. And it's you know, the support that people give staff things, like if there's a kid injured, you send some of your messages. I forwarded them on the wee Scotty when you were saying about this wee boy, and she's telling this wee boy, do you know who Bob Malcolm is? I played for Rangers, do you know? He said, it's just amazing that, you know, the effect that professionals can have on kids. And it's something in the 7 years that I started Sons of Struth Football Academy. It's really refreshing because I didn't expect it to level up the stuff. And even Elon Shanklin came around when he was it, I'm trying to remember if he was at Aberdeen at the time. No, he was in loan at here. He was still contract. Is he just been able to come down to training for half an hour and sat with a group of kids and just say, right, he's a professional football player. And you want to ask him, who wants to be a professional football player? Everyone puts a hand up. Right, there's a guy that's done it. Mm-hmm. Do you want to ask him anything? And can you see kids in the news? I'm just a boy face down the Glasgow and I've done this and I've done that. And I was playing here. And now you're getting high. Yeah,
you're basically just the same as what they are at that point. You've done it. Mm-hmm. But to be fair, obviously my wee boy's only 13 and he loves football. He might never be good enough to play at a level, but I take my half because he actually going to watching the coaches, even the teams he's playing against every week. Like your setup, boys, you're not getting paid for it. You're out Saturday morning, pissing rain, trying to coach kids to make them better. It's guys like yous and all the other coaches that they just need to help, because how many players have you got that you could probably have that are better, but they can't play because their mums and dads can't afford it?
It's the thing I say, it's becoming a middle-class sport, unfortunately, Bob. That's a whole tour's on top.
Me growing up, my mum and dad didn't drive. And obviously living in East End of Glasgow, trying to get to Ibrox was a nightmare for me. I had to go try and get a train or a bus into town, then the underground. But that, I was too young, so my mum wouldn't probably let me do that myself. So I had to rely on my uncle or my auntie. And to be fair, if it wasn't for them, then I probably wouldn't have been able to play football at the level I did, because they used to run me everywhere.
What are you like as a parent inside the park?
Quiet.
I'll bet. I'll tell you a weird story, right? The hardest thing about kids' football is the parents. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way. And I'm not saying every parent, I'd say 80-90% of parents are absolutely fantastic. But you get that wee 10% that can sometimes ruin it. And that's the same in anything, right? But it's a tough gig. And sometimes you just look at folk and you think, I'm doing this for the love of your win, because I don't have a win at this club, and you'd want to be an absolute rocket to me. And we, Billy Reid's assistant manager at Chelsea, and his grandson signs for Sons of Struth, right? And we called game, and I think he's with the club maybe a couple of months. And Billy's obviously quite busy at this point, right? And the coach had left, so I've ended up taking this wee team under 11s or something at the time. And I'm in his name again, he was a manager, you know, gets a sack for Chelsea. So Billy, Potter gets a sack, right? So Billy's not got a job. The first Saturday, right, I'm standing and looking around like that, oh no. Billy Reid's turned up, right? And you're going, he knows a fair bit about football, right? Billy Reid walked around the park with his other grandchild in a pram and just walked around the whole park for the whole time of that game and never said a single word. And then he came to maybe four or five games in the bounce. And I thought, he gets it. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I'm glad it's me that's taking this team, because see, I'm used to meeting people yourselves and, you know, good people within football. And although you've got a lot of respect from that, there's not happening as much, right? I mean, still, I'm going, this guy's Chelsea at the time. I think he came to one game actually, but he was still at Chelsea, actually. That's not true. He's assistant manager at Chelsea at the time. And a lot of coaches might have been more interested in that and put him off. And just go on, mate. And I thought, see a guy that is due to shout on about where a propeller should be or say something during the game. It's him at that particular venue at the time, the only person that would probably be qualified that, and you know, not interested, just wants to score and just say, do you know what, that's your coach.
I've had parents say, how do you know certain? I'm like, because I'm not their coach. I says, whether I agree with what's happening or not, I don't. I'm not the coach. I'm just a dad, the same as everybody else, or a mum, same as everybody else. I just go on with it, and if I'll try and have, my son's playing or whatever, if he comes on and he does something good, I'll say, look, you've done that good, but you could have maybe done this a wee bit better. And then he'll probably go like that. No, it'd be the huff. I'm like,
who do you think you're talking to?
Aye, what you done?
I don't know, games for Rangers, wee man, you should have moved right.
But then he'll probably go away and think about it, and then he'll come in and he'll say, yeah, you might be right. And I say to him the other night, he's come in a bad mood, his coaches shouted at him because he doesn't shout for the ball in. I mean, but he's right. And then he's like, oh, what are you taking his side for? I went, I'm not taking his side, I'm just telling you he's right in what he's saying. But why? How is he right? And I went, because it's not just you, it's that probably at that age, these are all pals. You don't want to shout at each other in case you fight with somebody. Uh-huh. I says, but shout to him, say, give me the ball. And he's like, he said, I started doing it. And I went, keep doing it then.
Well, look, mate, I'm just looking at the timer there. This is the longest one I've ever done. I always say to folks, because I knew your time, start talking shite. We're nearly over two and a half hours, man. Incredible. But listen, incredible journey with you there, you know, for starting all the way through to current time. And I know you've stated your ambitions to get back involved now that you've had the operation and stuff. And I wish you all the best for that. I think the experience you've got and the knowledge that you've got should be certainly somewhere in the game. And, you know, good luck with the endeavours to do that.
See, just before we go, Craig, see, like you're talking about with the kids. Mm-hmm. People ask me, how did you, like, what did you do to, like, how did you pass the ball, the way you passed it and all that? Do you know what I used to do? And people obviously
kick a ball.
No, they think you're taking the piss. I had a paper run when I was at school. So before I went to training, I used to have to run up the road, get my paper bag, go and get the papers, run around all the houses and dairy papers. I had a ball with me. See the old, you'll remember them, the old bus stops, remember the old plastic, like sheeted bus stops, yeah, where they were like, remember the old European goals,
aye,
square. I used to just like ping balls into them.
Use them as a goal?
I used them as a goal when I was running up the street. And then see, like, say, like, if maybe I'm got a house that's maybe 50 yards up the road and it's like 10 gardens away, I would bend the ball into that and try and hit their gate. Like just wee stupid things like that, and it would always have bothered me. An old bladder.
It's incredible to say that, and it's something that we get our older kids to 1.5 hour sessions a week. So we've got them for 3 hours a week and maybe an hour on a Saturday. The younger ones have got them on 2 1-hour sessions and then an hour on a Saturday. I can, because of the policies and the processes we use at our club, guarantee you that if you give us a kid and they tune in, we will make them a better football player. But we've only got some of them for 3 hours a week.
Aye.
So, you know, we can do so much. But see, and I think that's, we recently got a guy, it's a professional, no say what club he's at, because he maybe shouldn't have, but he devised a fitness programme for us that we videoed. It's 22 minutes long, and it's devised for kids that have just started playing on the side, so 12-year-old numbers. So we've started putting that in on a video. You kid, once a week at the house, you put it on his own iPhone, whatever. He watches this video and does this fitness video. It's 22 minutes long. And what we've said is, see the kids that are playing 11-a-sides, a wee bit more serious. Mm-hmm. That is a minimum. You must do it at least once a week. See the kids that are a wee bit younger, it's up to you, right? See the amount of parents say, I've not got time.
Aye.
It's 22 minutes to make your kid be a better footballer. If you can't do that 22 minutes, there's none of them, I'll guarantee you, are doing what you've done, and that was committing hours. Mm-hmm. With just a ball at your feet. And does this ethos about 10,000 hours to be good at the best at whatever it is, your children, you know, play the piano or do podcasts or be a football player or deliver papers. Until you've done it for 10,000 hours, you can't get to your peak. It's impossible. You try working out, that, if kids only come to us for their hours, 2 hours a week, they're never getting to 10,000 hours. And I think
football... Was that the thing that Walter tried to implement when he was...
I'm not sure. It was something that I heard. I was a sales manager for a long time. I was a sales trainer for a long time. And it was something I picked up through that. And it's a theory that's put to playing a piano, doing anything, unless you can get better all the time. But to get to your peak, you need to put 10,000 hours in.
I think that was something, maybe, I don't know if it might have been when Walter was a Scotland manager or when he came back to Rangers, he came out and said something like that. I don't know if it was 10,000 hours, but it was something like that.
Aye.
And he said, that's where the kids need to play, because you're taking your school football away. So if you play for a school team, and then you sign for Rangers, you can't play for your school team, you need to play with Rangers. Whereas, why? You play for everybody. If you day out enough during the week, why not?
Yeah. I just don't know if you'll get the odd one, right? Because I see it in front of my eyes. It's got the dedication that they'll do without even asking them. But you have to go, what chance have you got? And again, it's not a big, massive majority. It's something you go, there's something that we expect you to do. We went away and resourced this for you to help your kid be better. And you tell me that you're not doing it. The Wayne's doing it.
Yeah.
And some of the Wayne's probably don't even know about it. Mm-hmm. And if you put it in front of him and you tell the Wayne, you have to do that 22 minutes a week, at least once. They probably have to do it 2 or 3 times because they've all got access to phones and stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's you're right. It's the application, I think, that's the biggest thing. So.
See, but that's got to come within as well. I done it myself. I can remember talking about the Glasgow Cup earlier. Me think to myself, you're playing against older guys now. You maybe need to be fitter and stuff. So I would go out and I would eat a yogurt with fruit in like the morning of the game, and then go a run, doing a bit spring boy when I still live my mum.
In the morning of the game.
In the morning of the game, and then I'd come back to the house. Sit about for a couple of hours and then go to the game and then play and just be fine. But then you growing up, you all used to have the old jackets doing for goals and he did 2-touch with your pals and you'd be there for hours, loving it. The kids don't do that.
Not allowed.
What I will say about my son and a few of his pals, what I've noticed the last maybe 6 months is they go to a game on Saturday morning. Bang, as soon as they come back, they're up Broadwood and they're playing up there until maybe 6-7 o'clock at night. And they do that after school, sometimes during the week and all. And I'm like, well, that's a start, because you don't really, kids are about to come in and play on their PlayStation.
Yeah.
And I never, even when I was younger, I never pushed them to play football. It was lockdown that made them want to play. And I was like, brilliant. If that's what you want to do, then we'll try and get you in a wee team and see how you do.
Let's start a bit. And the football, I think, it's if you don't make it as a professional football player, that's the biggest mistake I made. I just stopped playing at football. Mm-hmm. And you're going, no, I should never stop. You know, you guys that use are still playing your 5-a-sides, you're over 35s, it's a great thing now, or playing amateur, whatever. And you don't need to be a professional to still play at football. And I think that's a message I try to get out to kids, that if you don't play for Rangers or Celtic or Real Madrid, and listen, if you don't play for Dumbarton and you don't play for East Fife, you don't play for Celtic Hearts, but it's an amateur team. It's half decent in Paisley. Because it's a great sport. There's so much, you know, obviously the physical benefits you get out of participating in any sport. But football's a great sport. See the camaraderie, the changing room, the banter. And it doesn't matter if you're playing for Real Madrid or Sons of Struth under 12s. You get into a changing room, there's a vibe goes on in there and it's great. But I can't believe the chat with Bob. It's been great. I can't thank you enough. I think the best, biggest gift to give anybody is your time. So for you to give me so much time today is absolutely fantastic. And is there anything that you hadn't covered that you wanted to cover?
No, mate, that's about everything. It's been a pleasure.
I feel like this is your life through the Red Book.
It's been a pleasure. I don't speak to Indy for this long either. but no, it's, as I say, any wee bit that if some kid or somebody that's trying to do something in the game can take something to then it's all the good for them.
Aye. Well, mate, honestly, I can't thank you enough. It's been great, and thank you for the respect that you've shown me through the time that I've known you, and just coming in here today has been fantastic. So, Bob Malcolm, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, mate. Thank you.